The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hi there, welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn. Today we're going to be looking ahead to some of the action on Thursday evening. Comes from Leopardstown, and by all accounts, it's a pretty good card. I am joined on the line by William Hill's resident Irish expert, Mr. Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
Firstly, how are you doing?
I'm good. You're right, by the way. It is a very good card.
It's a really very good card, isn't it? I mean, we've got a Group 3 that is two Group 3s, that are the feature races. But the supporting cards are also very competitive, and that there could be a few smart ones in there.
Definitely, yeah. Whoever's on the presenter's chair tonight should be shoehorning some way, if he can. At least the two Group 3s on there, the Meld Stakes and the Tyra Stakes, those two are mouth-watering contests.
I think it's Gordon Brown in the presenter's chair.
Oh, I'm sure Gordon's experienced enough to...
He'll do his best, won't he?
Yeah, he's like an orchestra conductor, isn't he?
I'll make sure we get at least the two Group 3s in, and we'll see what else we can do. The action kicks off at 5:45 then. We've got a maiden over 6 furlongs. And the three that have experience, that's all pretty good experience, isn't it? I mean, none of them were especially disgraced, and they could all feasibly go on and improve for those runs.
Yeah, I'd say so. Tahani's going to be favourite because of the run at Leopardstown behind, perhaps. Is the standout piece of form, there's no denying that. And the fact that she's had a couple of runs here at Leopardstown is also going to stand her in good stead. As I said, that third last time was really good. Perhaps a run excellently next time out behind Stabber Companion wonderfully in a Group 3 contest. And to be honest, I think she's probably one of the first fillies I've actually marked down already, perhaps, as a horse for next year's Oaks. She's by Galileo, but everything about her this season to me has been one of a horse that will definitely stay at least a mile and a quarter next season. And I thought Caruso as well, the horse that finished second, ran a respectable race as well at the Curragh on Sunday as well, just getting nutted late on by one of Davy Watchman. So considering the experience that she's already garnered, the fact that she's a front runner, which is tactics which can often be employed to success here at Leopardstown, particularly in 6 furlong races when it's difficult to make ground from the back, I suppose she's going to be quite difficult to beat. 6-5 probably represents a fair representation of her chance. Supernatural, I thought, might be the danger here from the Charles O'Brien stable. I thought she ran encouragingly first time out at the Curragh over 5 furlongs, which ultimately was too short for her. But subsequent performances of the winner, McAmanus, and the organ grinder suggest that maiden wasn't too shabby, and perhaps she could improve for the step-up in trip. But they've all got Tahani to beat here.
Okay, then, so the Weld horse is the selection?
It is indeed.
Okie doke. The second race on the card is a Group 3 race over 7 furlongs. It's the 6:15. And Sir John Hawkins heads the market for Aidan O'Brien and Joseph O'Brien, and surely takes the beating despite the fact that it couldn't get its head in front on its two forays over to England.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Sir John Hawkins' last two performances. You know, third in the Coventry, fourth in the Group 2 contest at Newmarket, won by Anjal, who finished very strongly in that race. Interesting that Aidan O'Brien tonight has decided to go for some headgear for the Colt by Henry and the Navigator. Blinkers on for the first time. He's certainly not scared, is he, Aidan, of putting headgear on his horses? He's tried hoods and visors and blinkers with several horses that he feels are just not quite putting it all in. And for instance, wonderfully, of course, won that Group 3 contest for fillies last time out after a reasonable run in the Albany Stakes. Absolutely bolted up next time out with the that contraption attached to it. So I certainly wouldn't take it as a negative, but I'm a massive fan of this Exogenesis, and I think Sir John Hawkins will have to be on top of his game to beat Gerlines' charge. And for that fact, at 9-4, I'm going to go against Sir John Hawkins here in favour of Exogenesis, who hit the ball out of the park on the figures last time out here at Leopardstown over the course and distance, when he stayed on very powerfully late on to beat Friendship, incidentally one of Aidan O'Brien's. And I just like the way he went about his work, and that was off the back of a good win the time before at Fairy House, when I nominated him as a horse that could improve off his first run here at Leopardstown. And he just seems to be progressing and going, getting better with each run. And I'm certainly not frightened about putting him up against the hot pot favourite here. And I actually think Simple Love will run quite well as well, the Dermot Well filly, because she comes out of a very good race last week here on the figures. One of my fastest two-year-old times so far this season was that race that was won by Wonderfully in the first-time visor, with perhaps second. And I do think that form of that race will stand at the test of time over the course of the season. I think some good fillies in that race. Whether she's quite good enough to beat the Colts, I wouldn't be absolutely 100% sure about. But I think she'll be in the first three or four Simple Love. I think she's quite a nice filly. But Exogenesis, yeah, I can't get away from him. And hopefully he can continue his progression.
Okay, then Exogenesis, the pick in the 6.15. The 6.50 is a handicap over a mile, and if we're being brutally honest, looks probably the weakest race on the card.
Yeah, that's a fair shout, Alex, yeah. Probably the key form line is that race that Glenginny won at Navan, beating Zelly Martin and Relay. It's a race that Relay looks as though he got in his pocket. And then, as his name suggests, that in a relay, the baton was passed on to Zelly Martin, who looked as though she was going to win. And then, lo and behold, up comes Glenginny up the inside and runs over the top of both and ends up winning quite comfortably in the end. That was on rain, softened ground, so she's got to prove herself on a lot quicker surfaces, Willie McCreary's inmate. But I do like the way she's finishing off her races. She was very unlucky the time before at Fairy House when getting up a bit of a head of steam, only to make trouble in running. So it wasn't a great surprise to me that she managed to be victorious at Navan. And I'd probably still stick with her. I think Conversational's an interesting runner. I wouldn't turn to give up on that filly either, because she's had one or two indifferent troublesome passages on the last two or three starts. And I noticed that the cur on Saturday, when I watched her again, she didn't get the best of runs. But at the same time, she's becoming a little bit frustrating since that good run beyond Rocatumo, of course, the Britannia winner early on in the season at the Curra. And I think you need deep pockets to be following her at the moment. But it wouldn't surprise me, as I said, if she won. But I'll stick with Glenginny. She's a strong finisher, and that often is a road to riches here at Leopardstown.
OK, then Glenginny in the 6.50. The 7.20 is the Meld Stakes over a mile and one furlong. And Aidan O'Brien's Mars has, I think it's fair to say, bumped into a few in its last few runs. But surely this is a great opportunity for him to get his head in front once more.
Yeah, arguably, yeah. I certainly won't back him at 4-7, despite his form figures and the horses he's run against, of course, fourth in the Eclipse Group 1 and the St James's Palace the time before Beyond Dawn Approach and Toronado. He's one of the best horses of his generation so far, over a mile and a quarter, there's no denying that. And he's just been unlucky, hasn't he, not to actually get his head in front. So Aidan O'Brien's dropping his sights a little bit here, dropping him to Group 3 company in a bid for him to get that elusive group race against his name. He certainly won't be winning out of turn, and he just isn't the kind of horse I want to be backing at a short price, because I do think he's probably got more on his plate here than his odds suggest. I don't fancy Sweet Lining. I think Alaval will struggle over the trip. Lacaline is a little bit one-paced. She hasn't got a turn of foot, and Dane Street's not good enough. But Cintalulu and Along Came Casey, two very, very good figures on my fillies on my figures this year, and I actually fancied Cintalulu to run a big race in the Irish Oaks on Sunday. She didn't let me down, albeit she didn't actually get me any money, because I backed her each way and she finished fourth in a wild finish. But she certainly went down on a shield, and the time before, when she was a winner here in Belle de Crease and Violet Arrow, two subsequent maiden winners, in a very fast time, that would give her a huge chance here. And I quite like Cintalulu. I think she'll certainly be good enough to put it up to the favourite, as will Along Came Casey, who just got outpaced by Fierce Salon the other day down in Fairy House. But that was certainly no disgrace, because Fierce Salon has been one of the most improved fillies so far over in Ireland this season. Prior to that, she'd won in a very fast time here at Leopardstown. She's actually top of my figures, Along Came Casey. So I'm going to have to stick with her. She's 11-2 this morning. But if she can run to that number that she did two starts back when beating Brendan Bracken, I definitely think she's good enough to certainly give Mars plenty to think about, along with Cintalulu as well. I'm almost very tempted to play both of these two against the favourite here and hope for a bit of a shock.
OK then, so Along Came Casey and Cintalulu against the favourite Mars in the 7.20, the Meld Stakes. The 7.55 is an apprentice handicap over a mile and two furlongs, and looks reasonably open, but a few of these bring some place form to the table last time out.
They do, yeah. I mean, Nia Filly is going to be favourite here, quite rightly so as well. She's a course winner two starts back when she won in pretty easy fashion with Rory Cleary on board. And he just got nutted the other day by an improving horse of Dermot Wells called Kiothri down in Killarney when just getting gobbled up late on. She races off a new mark now, revised mark. So that will make life tougher. And I suppose if you're a weights and measures man, you'll look back to that run in Garran three starts ago when Pym Street, Willie McCreary's inmate, was six lengths back from Jim Bulger's charge. And there's a massive turnaround in the weight today, almost a stone and a half. So if you are, like I say, if you are a weights and measures man, then you'd certainly look towards Pym Street causing a bit of a ripple here. And I suppose Pym Street each way is maybe the way to go here, even if you don't think it'll beat the favourites, because that she has obviously improved as well. It should be good enough to see Pym Street finish in the first three, and that's probably the way I'd attack this race. Around about 5-1, I certainly think she's good enough to be there or thereabouts. Castle Guest, I'm not quite sure whether he's getting the trip or not. He made the running last time at Killarney and got run out of it late on, and the same comments applied the time before at Fairy House. I think Street Party will run well. If you fancy him, I couldn't put you off. That run behind Great Explorer is not a bad effort, because Aine O'Brien's charge does stay really well. And of course he's ridden by Conor King as well, who's definitely the apprentice find of the season so far over in Ireland. But Pym Street each way at 5-1 is probably the safest option there in that 7.55.
Okie doke. The 8.30 is race number 6 on the card. It's the penultimate contest and it's a handicap over a mile and 6 furlongs. And we've got a mix here of some reasonably exposed solid handicappers and Heirloom for the Aidan O'Brien team, who's very much unexposed and scored readily last time out.
Yeah, this race is an absolute total mismatch. I really don't know what Heirloom is doing in this race. He should absolutely crush this lot. 6-5 with William Hill. I'll make this horse an odds on chance to win this race. There's some exposed horses in this, and Heirloom is definitely on the improve. I'm not saying he's a pattern race performer, because, far from it. I don't think he's quite to that level yet, but he's run two starts ago, reads really well, even notwithstanding his run last time out at Dundalk, which I'll get onto in a minute. But that third behind Velas de Milo absolutely stands out like a beacon here. Velas de Milo, of course, one of the most improved fillies over in Ireland, won next time out in a listed race at Nace, and then only just got nutted late on by that French raider in the Irish Oaks on Sunday. So we're talking about a group race horse here that this horse finished a length behind in a mile and a half race on soft ground. He then went to Dundalk the other day as a bit of a confidence booster stroke, exercise in getting this horse off the mark. And it worked the Oracle with the first time cheek pieces on. He showed on very, very powerfully later on. I got this horse doing some really good work off the 3 and 4 pole. So much so he recorded the fastest per furlong time of the day and the fastest split as well. Interesting that those cheek pieces that were applied are not on here tonight, which is a slight, not worry, but an odd move from Aidan O'Brien. If they work once, why would you change it? If not broke, don't fix it kind of thing. But that said, his figures stack up. And even off a mark of 90 here, I think he's very, very well treated. He's actually a half-brother to a horse called February Sun, who's a mile and a half winner, so I don't anticipate him having any problems with a mile six. Giant's Quest would probably be the danger if there is going to be one. I think finding trouble in running is probably his only danger here, because if he doesn't meet trouble in running, I don't think that'll stop him winning. I think he's a good thing here. 6-5 should be taken. I think he'll probably be 4-6, 4-7, close to the off.
Okay, sounds like a nap selection there for you, Andy.
Oh, absolute walkover.
Okay then, promising stuff. The final race on the card is the 9 o'clock. It's a maiden over a mile and 4 furlongs. And I'm going to leave this pronunciation to you, Andy, but the Bulger horse heads the market.
Feel the Bam, yes.
It's easier than I thought, actually.
Yeah, it is brilliant, yeah.
We've got consonants
in there.
You
made life difficult for yourself. There's no need to be. You should have been more braver. First time hood in a listed race. Not for the first time, Jim Bulger employs rather strange beginnings for an inmate of his. But yeah, she certainly lived up to the billing, didn't she, by running an unbelievably brave and gutsy, promising race behind Venus de Milo, Opera Gloves and Bonarrigan. And she did all the best work at the end as well. She didn't look to be going anywhere with 3 to run. In fact, she was almost going to finish last but one, but meeting the rising ground at Nace, she absolutely took off and ended up flashing past beaten horses to finish 4th. This looks a fairly straightforward opportunity for her, doesn't it? 5-4. That wouldn't look to be the world's worst price, considering the opposition here. Palace of Winds ran a a fairly encouraging race here last time behind a horse called Drifting Mist, who thinks on the upgrade. I do think that Drifting Mist, by the way, is a Galway horse in the making for next week. I think she's a strong stayer, and I'll be looking for Mickey Halford's filly to be plotted into one of those handicaps. And I think Arch Pearl is another horse that will win races in due course. He bumped into the strong staying Great Explorer last time out. Form of that race has worked out quite well. I think he could be quite troublesome. But I think we'll stick with Phil Naban, who should relish extra couple of furlongs, and the Stiff Uphill Climb.
Okay then, so Phil Naban in the closer. If you could just sum up your seven picks at Leopardstown for us this evening then, Andy.
Yeah, Tahani should get favourite backers off to a good start in the first. I think she's got all the form required to win a race of that nature. Exogenesis, I'm a massive, massive fan of him, and I think he'll give the favourite plenty to think about in the Tyros Stakes. The 650, as you pointed out, Alex, is quite a weak race. I'll stick with Glen Ginny, who is a very strong finisher. 720, I'd have to go against a favourite here, just on a pure price angle. I do think Along Came Casey is underrated here, and at the price, she's worth a punt. And if you wanted to play two against a favourite, then look no further than Cintalula, who is sure to run another brave race. 755, I'll probably go with the bottom one each way, Pym Street, with a big turnaround in the rates with Neophilia. Nap of the Night is an heirloom. I don't think you'll see any odds against come post-time for that. You've got to take the early morning odds. And then the final race, Phil Naban from the Bulger Stable. With that good run in a listed race first time out, hopefully it'll improve enough to take what looks not an overly strong maiden in the last.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. There's also a card tonight at Limerick over hurdles and fences. Is there anything that takes your eye there?
Yeah, just the one, really. I'll be quite keen on Boxer Beat in the 6:30. He was a horse who was tagged with a bit of a professional loser until he managed to win last time out in pretty impressive fashion. He actually recorded a very fast time in comparison to the other horses on the same card as him. I think there was a 0-130 handicap on that card, and he ran a time in accordance with that. So if we can trust him to repeat that or replicate that effort at the Killarney last time out, then he should take all the beating here off just a £2 high mark with Keith Donoghue booked. It doesn't look a particularly strong race. Obviously he's back over the brush hurdles tonight, but while he's in this kind of mood, I think we should stick with Boxer Beat. He looks the best on the card at Limerick.
Okay then, good luck with all those picks, that single one at Limerick and on the card at Leopardstown. Good luck with Heirloom. I think I may go back that myself now. And yeah, thanks for talking to us, Andy.
No problem, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.